All right. For those new to the program, and there's a lot of people who found Planet Waves in the past couple of weeks, thanks to the coronavirus news feed, which I would ask that you please share that, because it's the only thing of its kind that I know of, by the way, that's just tracking the news and making an old-fashioned weblog, a log of the time that we are in. The last segment of Planet Waves FM, traditionally, going back years, is a presentation about sexuality. The real thing. We're not into the identity politics thing here, and it's not the political version of sex. It's the thing itself. And this has been a tradition of Planet Waves since I was writing the column on Rob Brezhnev's website, in fact, where I wrote on the old realastrology.com, remember back then? An article called Coming to the Revolution, Masturbating Your Way to Life, Love, and Freedom. It was my first masturbation manifesto, and it's reincarnated many, many, many times. And to the great credit of Rob Brezhnev, he, you know, let it get through publication. I assumed that he personally put his stamp of approval on it. So that tradition has continued, and I've done this work in many different forums, and now my main forum is here at the end of Planet Waves FM each week. And I call this segment Tantra Studio. My concept of Tantra is that it is the placing of sexuality in a human and spiritual framework. Essentially, Tantra means, to me, means a spiritual path and a growth path, a self-actualization journey that is fully integrated with one's sexual healing process and growth process, and then the experience of loving people. So for the past couple of weeks, I took the conversation from the sharing masturbation idea of sexuality. That is to say, and you can go back and review them, that they'll be on the planetwaves.net tab, Planet Waves FM tab on the main website, planetwaves.net, Planet Waves FM tab, or on the planetwaves.fm site. Always the last 45 minutes or so. So I took the conversation from the idea of why people would want to get together and masturbate rather than have sex, or sex in the penetrative sense of the idea, whether as friends, as conjugal couples, as groups, as perfect strangers, or whatever, into the idea of compersion, C-O-M-P-E-R-S-I-O-N. And last week I got a little sidetracked telling the story of where this word came from. I started the story, then I didn't finish it. I mentioned the Carista community in San Francisco, which was active in, I believe, in the 70s and the 80s. I've known some people who lived there. And they discovered, it was a polyamorous community, and they also shared money. So it was like pure communism. Share the love and share the money. It went on for years. And many experiments were conducted there. It would be really cool if somebody could round up all the old Caristans that are surviving and at least get their stories recorded for listening tradition, and then possibly writing them down. Anyway, they discovered... Now you're going to hear one. That you could be in love with someone, and that person could have a sexual experience with a third person, with another person, and the partner witnessing the sexual experience could have it be the most blissful thing in all of human history. So this was not made synthetically. It was discovered intuitively through experience. And they needed a word for this. So they asked the Ouija board. And the Ouija board said, compersion. That's where the word comes from. I know this from C.T. Butler, very bright guy. There's this one juicy conversation between me and C.T. Butler in the Planet Waves FM archives. He, by the way, is a teacher of consensus. How do you have consensus in a fair way? He's also one of the founders of the American polyamory movement, the honest non-monogamy movement. And what I explained last week was that no matter what else someone might try in terms of polyamory, that is to say, you've got a girlfriend, the girlfriend is a friendly interest in someone or like someone, and you say, okay, let's see what it's like to have you have a relationship with this person while we're still lovers, boyfriend, girlfriend, married, living together, whatever it might be. So there's lots of polyamorous experiments that go on, and there's books and conferences and things like this, and it's not exactly free love. In fact, it's so usually so structured that it's anything but free love. But what makes it all possible is compersion. You can never really tolerate your lover going on a date with someone else and have it be workable or pleasant or anything. It has to actually turn you on that the person you love is going to do something that they love and have an experience with someone. And that very well could be a sexual experience. And the way to go there is by learning or accessing compersion. There are some people for whom this comes naturally. Many people have experienced that flare of sexual excitement that comes from a jealous experience. Like you, maybe sex life's a little not quite up to what it was, and then, you know, your girlfriend makes a new friend and she's obviously attracted to him, and then suddenly you're jealous and then your sexual interest is ignited. I think that right beneath the scrim of jealousy, that's compersion in operation. Most of what people experience when they look at porno is compersion, because they're not the one having the experience. Someone else is having the experience usually with another person. And so I know that there's a wide diversity of responses to porno. Some of them are more enlightened than others, seemingly more or less loving or whatever. But I think that the operative emotion is compersion, because you're feeling erotic empathy for the person having an experience. And what I learned in my time as a presenter in the poly and the tantra movements, mostly in the late 1990s into the mid 2000s, I think I did my last presentation in 2007 at a Loving More conference, is that the best way to demonstrate the possibility of compersion is to masturbate with another person and feel your erotic empathy for that other person. Let yourself be turned on by their pleasure. And you can do this as a physical experience. You can take turns. You can draw straws for who goes first. You can take your clothes off and dive in. And by the way, I will repeat that when I say sharing masturbation, I don't mean you do me, I do you. I mean I am responsible for my reality, my thoughts, my feelings, and you're responsible for your reality, your thoughts, and your feelings. We're each responsible for our responses to one another. And that little space provides the distance to witness and to remind yourself that your reality is different from the reality of this person in whom you may have a tremendous investment, an investment of identity, sometimes it's not a good idea for them to just go fuck someone and you deal with it. You would need a lot of compersion for that. And look, you can learn it by just cracking the egg and dropping it into the butter. I could tell lots of versions of the ways that I experimented to cultivate this, but I believe that this is something that's encrypted in my soul and that I merely had to just move away some dross and insecurity and kind of ego baggage and just let myself be who I am. And I think that that sharing masturbation is a way to do this. And so, for example, in the case of a couple, what you can do is you can, once you've done it a couple of times, you can expand the game into fantasizing out loud, and you grant your partner amnesty. Say whatever you want about whoever you want and go for it. I will love you. This is kind of like, 200 level compersion, maybe 300 level. Of course, the truth can come out, and the truth can be, can shake you up. And as William Pennell Rock said, only the truth is erotic. So I had a compersion experience occurred last night and this morning that I'd like to share with you as a way of describing what's possible and why. And I had this experience with a person I care about profoundly and love with all my soul. And so there's nothing casual about any experience that we have. It might be light and fun and all that, but still, I'm invested. And so is she. And what I got to witness and feel was my friend, a female, teaching someone how to fuck her. While it happened, I was right there. Close enough to kiss her some of the time, a little bit back other times. And, to me, this is like slipping into a bubble bath. It's just the universe in all of its perfection. And, I have the capacity to hold this. And she and I have the trust in one another to do this. And the trust element is vital, and the compersion element is essential, right? Because that was the bubble bath that I was in, was the bubble bath of compersion. And you'll meet those people who call themselves compersion junkies, because it's so good once you get into it that everyone's pleasure is your pleasure, and you're in this kind of Buddhist erotic world. And so where my Buddhist erotic world took me was my lover explaining to another man exactly how to fuck her. They began their experience without my having direct knowledge. My kind of polyamorous rule is do what you do and be honest about it. There are other polyamorous agreements. It must be thought through and talked through, new partners approved. You go as quickly as the slowest person in the whole equation. There's a book called The Polyfidelity Primer that breaks all these possibilities down. My choice is to trust entirely, usually women in my life, to do what feels right and what feels good to them. So she had the pre-existing knowledge of various, things that I'm really interested in, this being one of them. And so at a certain point a week ago, she got me on video chat and explained what she'd experienced. And, I was a puddle and loved her more and more. And then the other day, she arrived, and then the next day he arrived, and they planned to have some experiences with me. And so this one, there were lots of them, but this one particular one, which was kind of not on the exactly on the menu, but it's what happened, is that she taught him how to fuck her and how to lick her pussy. Guy's a little older than me. He's a very sweet person. He had lots of experience, but I realized from watching them have sex and knowing my friend as well as I know her that, you know, he had something to learn, and she took the time to teach him. And that was amazing. There's a lot of questions about how to teach sex. And I think that ultimately what it has to come down to is people who are actually having sexual experiences and who are open to each other, teaching one another what is right for them. And this takes courage, and it takes some confidence, it takes trust, and it takes practice, and it takes more than anything, I think, is a level of detachment, of not caring what the person thinks. I'm going to explain to you what I want and what I need and what's right for me and what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And if you don't like that, that's fine. Plenty of people, but I'm not one of them. In this case, her partner was very receptive. And so I was witness to this sex lesson. Just to give you a kind of concept of the physical context, I guess my friend probably weighs like 95 pounds soaking wet. Her partner was a pretty big guy, you know, nice build, but like 6 feet, maybe twice her size. So for her, it was all about the power of her mind. She had absolutely no physical ability, in the case of a, you know, whatever former, like, member of the Air Force. So it was all about respect and focus and him being open and willing to learn, and she being open and willing to explain and stop him. So at one point, she's laying there with her knees pulled back. She's on her back. He's above her and in a position to penetrate her. And she's got her foot on his chest. So this is all by agreement. So she can control the, she can communicate with him both verbally and with her foot and with her vagina, how she feels. And so she explained, how do you feel me? Here's what feeling me means. If you're gonna take off your clothes and fuck me, you have to feel me. You have to move with me. You have to, as she said at one point, you have to stop being a jackhammer. I thought, this is really good. This is like the best thing ever. And all I could do was love her. I was like loving her more by the second as this was going on. I don't know if you have those experiences where like you kind of get caught in the cyclone. And the intentness of her explanation, the directness of her ultimatum, you're going to do this my way or are you going to stop? You're going to listen to what I'm saying. You're going to slow down all your energy, and you're going to feel me. Here's what it feels like to feel me. You pulse with me. You move with me. No. Just like great stuff. And I'm thinking, this has got to happen more. This has got to be a thing. It's a thing in my life because I'm in some ways a kind of a sexual initiation temple. Book of Blue, my art project, was essentially a sexual initiation temple, first for me and then for all the women who passed through. And the central ritual was they would study themselves in a mirror and I would photograph them. And for some, it became a sexual experience, like they would masturbate in the mirror. That did not happen the majority of times. Most of the time, they just sat there and moved around and explored and could see themselves. This always led interesting places in their lives to have that moment of fully acknowledged self-awareness, because I was the witness. I hold space for this a lot. And in many other ways, my life is a kind of an initiation chamber. Many different contexts. One of them is sexual. So I've been at this a long time. For people who have not, it is a step to decide that everyone who ever has sex with you from now on is going to do so on your terms entirely. That is a form of consent. It's an agreement. And I believe the agreement should be made explicitly. It is possible to being abused. And in this scenario, I'm specifically speaking of the sex that is shared. Now, for this to work, the person saying this has to be confident enough in themselves to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do this. Normally, sex is the kind of thing people dive into, often without a lot of forethought. There's often alcohol involved. There's not a very much awareness at all of the kinds of choices that are being made or implied. So to do this thing that I think is the one thing that has to happen is that in particular women need to teach men how to have sex. The women have to be sufficiently awakened to know themselves and to have the words for their self-knowledge, which I think comes from a lot of conscious masturbation. And part of the educational process is demonstrating masturbation so that you can demonstrate what feels good for you. This is the way to touch me. Watch, I will show you. Then there's the trickiest piece of all. That being, having the confidence to do this, knowing that it might be no dice for the person. They might just think, nah, not happening. That's not... You're not going to tell me to do. And there's plenty of people who feel this way. And by telling what to do, I don't mean saying, now are you going to handcuff yourself to the wall? I'm going to handcuff you to the wall and I'm going to flog you. No. I mean the most basic, elemental sexual communication. Nothing kinky. Nothing off the topic of vanilla sex. How do you want your pussy licked? That to go there, you have to have the confidence to know that the person might not accept the position that you're taking. So that's a big step. In some ways, it's the biggest step. But the building of sexual self-confidence through lots and lots of highly conscious masturbation and sharing masturbation and sharing about masturbation and sharing about sexual history, do this for a while, a couple of months, a year, and you will build the vocabulary, the confidence, and the pleasure of holding your own sexual space. I am certain that most of these sexual boundary transgressions that happen, and I don't mean outright attack, I mean the ones that are happening in the nebulous area, are happening because people's boundaries with themselves are unclear. They are therefore not able to respond to their partner. There is, in being penetrated, there is a very fine line between this is the absolute right thing and this is the absolute most painful wrong thing. And anyone being penetrated, as you may know, is going to hang out on that line. I'm a man who has experimented with self-penetration since, like, maybe age 12 or something. So this has been as much of part of my sexual reality as any other part of my sexual reality. I've shared it with many, many partners and in workshops and everything else. And so I have a map of my interior. I have all these references and feelings in my body. So it makes it very easy for me to communicate sexually with women, who generally are the ones getting penetrated. Most men don't have this. They don't have these experiences. They don't necessarily have these desires. My friend's partner last night seemed to have absolutely no desire to do anything like that. So she was explaining to him things from her point of view that he had never felt and might never feel in his physical body. So he was having to get the information secondhand. I would say, if I were a woman, I would say, potentially, you're not fucking me till I see you fuck yourself. Here's a little tiny butt plug. I want you to feel what it feels like to have something enter your body and try to take any pleasure at all from it, much less the stunning ecstasy that you see in pornos, which is most people's reference point for what it's supposed to be like to get fucked. Most men have no concept of the degree to which a woman must be in an absolutely relaxed, open, and trusting space. And I would further propose that a great many women have no concept that this kind of trust and openness is even possible. Put that together, and you've got a real recipe for disaster. And it is, for most, let's speak to women now, who have to, if they want to be heterosexually active, have to do this thing of open up and be fucked. That's what heterosexual sex generally is, includes, or at least. That on the way to getting to that space of relaxation and openness and trust and the ability to choose a partner are many, 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 many layers of healing. Healing of traumas that may have been inflicted as early as 1 year old, is the earliest I've ever worked with someone, right on out to what happened yesterday, to all of the forms of repression that we are subjected to all of the ways we've had our natural sexuality taken away from each other and shamed and turned into an object of some form of derision, and the extent to which I believe that almost everyone feels some measure of betrayal around sex and sexuality. Like it was supposed to be so good, or they had a glimpse of how good it was, and then what it became was pregnancy and or miscarriage and or abortion and or adoption and or child too early, and or disapproval by whomever, and or sexually transmitted infections, and or ectopic pregnancies that burst, and or the many, 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 many things that can go wrong, including all the ways in which sexual openness can be used against a person. Almost everyone has experienced that. That for any of us to get to a place where there's going to be the sufficient openness and trusting to have a loving, beautiful, trusting sexual exchange, there are many layers of healing to go through, and there are not so many people who are willing to explain it. There are not so many people who know at all, who even have a context, who have the words. And I have immersed myself in this reality of teaching and learning. And of course, the teacher must go through an ongoing, profound series of ongoing, never-ending transformations. I mean, there's no escaping that if the person's going to be a trustworthy guide and teacher, whatever form the teaching takes. So there's a couple of teaching contexts that I'm describing here, one of which is a woman explaining to a man exactly what to do. That means everyone agreeing and being trusting enough. And I will close by saying, I think that the place to learn this, the sandbox, the romper room playground, is in the context of sharing masturbation. As casually as show and tell. Easygoing. No implied commitment, except the commitment to be present and loving and to hold confidence. And that in that space, the many forms of necessary exploration of recognizing the healing necessities that we have, whether they're feelings or whether it's a trauma being triggered, can be explored in the context of sharing masturbation. I will end with an example. Let's pretend that a woman has had a sexual trauma at some point in her life. Maybe as an adult, teenager, 15, 16, 18. And that though she wants to be intimate, that when she is being intimate and lets her energy expand, gets turned on, and maybe starts to feel the orgasm calling her, that the trauma can kick in and shut the whole biopsychic system down, and then pretty much everyone feels bad. Many people can't explain the sexual traumas that they have had. Many people have been hurt explaining their sexual traumas to others. They've had the information used against them in some way. And so it is very common for even married couples of decades standing to not share experience about their sexual traumas. And so that remains latent, and then it becomes a factor that can guide their entire sexuality and set limits on it. And there's no context to have the conversation. So now let's shift the context. Now let's put a few people in a room together, or two people in a room together. And all we're going to do is take care of ourselves and listen and watch and feel and show. Now imagine that coming up. Person starts to get turned on. Maybe they go right past it. Maybe when there's not someone penetrating them, they don't feel out of control in some way, like the person's just going to have their way with them, whether they want it or not, which I suspect from watching sex class last night is a very common problem. The sense of a man not picking up the cues that the woman is not ready to be penetrated or has stopped being ready because something's happened. The sexual experience tends to be very self-absorbing. That's a problem. When you move the sexual experience apart a little bit and you say, okay, this is about being self-absorbed, then it becomes possible to actually look, listen, feel, and not be personally threatened by what someone else may say or do or feel. And so if we take the same basic people, right, the very excited man, fucking amazing feeling to fuck a woman. I mean, really? I mean, I'll just say this a few more times. Licking pussy is amazing. Having sex with women, speaking as a male-bodied person, wow. But it can be so amazing that you lose contact of your partner's experience. And this may happen most of the time. There has to be a shift in context to heal that, to learn how to focus on what your partner is going through. So, sharing masturbation may be conversation. It may be, I'm going to show you exactly how I masturbate. And you get out all your toys and you set your thing up in front of the mirror, or you hide in the closet, or you go in the shower, whatever it is you like to do, or flip on your particular channel on Pornhub or whatever it might be. And with the intention of no shame at all, you demonstrate. Then you can go to the next level where you're going to allow your partner to embrace you while you do this. You're still totally in control. No one can have their way with you. All they get to do is put their hands on your shoulders and feel and observe. Now if something comes up, it's much easier to talk about, because after all, you're responsible for your experience. They're responsible for their experience. I think that talking through sexual trauma is helpful to a point, which is really like the first point of sexual healing, going through settling down and the any physical issues perhaps subsiding. But that to actually heal sexual trauma requires allowing sexual energy to move into the space of the trauma and beyond the space of the trauma. That the healing energy is sexuality itself. It is orgone or kundalini or the million pranayama. There's a million words for it. Shakti. There's endless words for it. We're talking about the essential energy of orgasm, that sexual healing happens when your whole biopsychic thing, you and your feelings and your body, allow loving, pleasurable feelings to flood through you. Then you're free from the trauma. And it may take 10 times or 50 times. You may need to stop having sex with a partner and only masturbate over and over again until you feel ready to be open enough to some other kind of context and to let go of control a little bit. What you have to do with sex, what you can't be in control all the time. Ultimately, people have to let go. But there's that blind spot in the letting go with the best, most loving intentions of not necessarily picking up on what the other person's feeling. And I saw this over and over again, even in the space of just the sex lesson went on maybe for about half an hour, 45 minutes. It's hard to say. But a very friendly, loving man, really, truly, having to be stopped over and over again, said, no, this is how you're going to do it. I just said this. I'm going to show you how I move my pelvis. I'm going to stay really still. You're going to move with me. over and over again, and this person's sexually experienced, if that's the case, in the best case scenario, right? Completely friendly, full trust on everyone's parts. We all agreed to be there. My partner had the added confidence of my presence, my showering her with loving approval. Well, what about all the less opportune, right? That's an 11. What about 10, 9, and all the rest of them going down without all those benefits and advantages and the ability to be articulate and the willingness on everyone's part to learn and to trust? And my partner's confidence that if she had to, she could have just sent him flying with her foot. Ladies, that's where you need to be. Got to be willing to be open, but also to send him flying. And who cares if he gets a concussion? This way, we can go past consent and start to resonate with each other and understand that ultimately, yes comes from the body. No matter what the mind may say, no matter how much you think you may want someone or something, that ultimately the body has the last word. And to put this in the most positive light, if your body is not feeling ready, if you are not accepting this person's presence, their touch, their penetration, if you don't like how they touch you, if they don't like you, how they lick you, stop things and start the conversation. Continue the conversation. I know this takes bravery. The rewards are profound. They're unlike, in truth, they're unlike anything. And the thing that we're surfing on is erotic empathy, compersion. On that note, I leave you for now, and I leave you with these words by the entity Raphael. I look out across the slumbering sea of humanity, and I whisper these words in the night, and I know that I address a great being sleeping still in ignorance of itself. I know that if the wild winter winds of your communication systems send tatters or fragments of this message echoing in the darkness, it will still be to the unconscious that I speak. For the conscious have seen the sky start to brighten in the east and have felt the warming spring of eternal life begin to thaw the hardness of their preconceptions. This is Faithless, featuring Dido.
Lines to the skin that have seen neither sun nor sin. Tubes to the mouth that cannot laugh or sigh or even cry. Drop in the ocean, a second in all time, one star in the endless sky, but you, me. The whole world to me, you're an island of light. So please, last this day, stay. one more day. Please, last this day. Stay one more day. And stay one more. Stay one more. Stay one more day. And just one more. Just one more. Just one more day. Last this day, stay one more.